Well, good morning again, everyone. And I want to just say welcome to our guests. It is a new member Sunday, so I know that there will be some guests in the audience this morning. Let's pray. God, we do thank you again that you are the one who came and sought us. Father, we're the wanderers. You are the gatherer. Father, we were the ones who were dead in our trespasses and sins, and you are the one who came and made us alive in Jesus Christ. I know that's true of many of us here in this room, and we give you praise and glory for opening our eyes to see the glory of God in Jesus Christ, to give us faith to believe in the finished work of the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God, who came to redeem us from our sins, to save us from your deserving wrath and justice. Lord, for those who have yet to bow the knee, I pray, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, that as we hear testimony after testimony, changed life after changed life, changed heart after changed heart, God, that you would again refresh and remind us of the great salvation for those of us who have trusted in your Son, and that you would give faith and repentance to those who have yet to bow the knee to Jesus. God, as we talk about biblical fellowship and what it means to be part of a body, God, I pray that you would just teach us from your word. Lord, I also pray for those that are going to be joining the membership this morning, God, that this would be just a time of reflection and grace in their life, Lord, that this might be, as they're joining this local church, God, that they would grow into the maturity of Christ for your glory. I pray that we would surround them with care and unity and love, Lord, that we might mutually build one another up into the fullness of God. For your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to apologize ahead of time. There still is a little bit of a tickle. So if I have to turn away to cough, I pray that that's not going to be a distraction. But like I said, this morning is part two of our new member Sunday. Last week, we welcomed 7 people into the RBC membership. This morning, we're welcoming 10 more people. And so in light of thinking about church membership, I want to briefly speak on one of God's graces in the practice of biblical fellowship. So the message today can be summed up this way. Biblical fellowship is essential to the Christian faith because eternal life is at stake. Biblical fellowship is essential to the Christian faith because eternal life is at stake. So let's start by just asking real quickly, what is biblical fellowship? For many of us, maybe some of you who grew up in the church, you hear the word fellowship and you might think of different church events or maybe different events that revolve around food. At RBC, we regularly do an after-service potluck called fellowship meals. And yet, while I love gathering and breaking bread and talking with people, we know biblical fellowship is more than just a Christian way of describing hanging out, right? We know that. The Greek word for fellowship is the word koinonia, and it means partnership. It means communion. It means a shared life together. The early church didn't gather because they had the same hobbies or they had the same personalities. They gathered because they had a common bond in Christ. They had a shared mission in Christ, and they had a mutual commitment to holiness. And the same is true today. Fellowship isn't just something we do for comfort or social connection. It's a serious life and death commitment. When you accepted Christ, you were called to a life that was bigger than yourself. And so Christian fellowship has a glorious, eternal purpose, and it provides the support that we need as we journey through the hardships of life. Some of you this morning are dealing with hardships in your life, and God, in his wisdom, has provided the church. He's provided the church to you as a means of grace to help you persevere in the faith. And so let's look at the early church's example. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We're going to be all over. I'm going to be reading several passages, so write them down just in case you don't have time to get to them. Acts chapter 42. And they, the early church, devoted themselves, let's notice three things here, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Four things. What the book of Acts describes here in this young New Testament church is really the foundation for Christian community. So we see the early church, they valued sound doctrine and teaching, something we at here highly value at RBC. They devoted themselves to prayer, which wasn't just an addition to their gatherings, but it was an essential part of their life in the church. They sought wisdom and strength and guidance. They knew that apart from him, they could do nothing. There was no power at work in these people apart from Jesus and the Spirit. Notice what else they devoted themselves to here as well. They devoted themselves to fellowship. And I wonder, do we value fellowship as an essential element to the Christian life? Many of you do. Many of you would say amen. We know it's important to study God's word and to pray, but the Bible makes it clear that fellowship is also something that's essential. It's something we should be devoting ourselves to. Without biblical fellowship, the Christian and the Christian community, it just simply cannot thrive. So how does this fellowship take root in us? Here's Paul's prayer in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. Paul says, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end. Remember, he's speaking to the church here. He will keep you firm to the to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the key. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, speaking to the church, Paul reminds believers that our fellowship, it's rooted. It's rooted in the union with Christ. And so apart from that connection, there's no true fellowship. We're united to one another because each of us has fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. I mean, praise God that he's made it so, right? This is the gospel at work in the church. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, Paul's closing words to the Corinthians, they reflect this. Paul says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So this, we're seeing this fellowship is a beautiful gift given to the church. It unites us as we walk together on this mission, as we're facing both the challenges of life and the joys of life as God's people. The Spirit works in us to bring restoration and comfort and peace, producing brotherly affection among believers. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Here's the unifying factor. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Think about that. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So I hope we're seeing that how we're bound together as heirs of God. We are bound together collectively as a community, as heirs of God, as we suffer with one another, as we await God's future glory. Ephesians 2, 17 to 22, Paul explains how God is building his people into a spiritual house. He says this, he, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, and I love this, rises Imagine, picture this, to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Each of us is a brick, right? In the house of God, we're brought together on the foundation of Christ. And so God has taken this diverse, multi-ethnic, multilingual people, and he's building them together, and he's uniting them for his glory. That's what the church is meant to be. And so this fellowship, it's unique, it's eternal, it's different than anything that we've ever seen in the history of man. There's lots of ways that people gather together and group together in this life, but the fact is, those groups begin and they end in this life. Christian fellowship, the church, however, is totally different. Christian community is eternal and it's countercultural. While the world joins together into groups for oftentimes self-benefit, we're brought into this community based on something that is outside of ourselves. We're united and we belong because of what Christ did on our behalf. And we remain in that fellowship by his grace. So we're part of something that's far greater than any one of us individually. And it has eternal significance. It lasts throughout the ages of eternity. And so I mentioned at the beginning that Christian fellowship is essential because eternity is at stake. Here's why I say that. Excuse me. Our fellowship is part of what helps us, each one of us, persevere in the faith. Our perseverance in the Christian life is not just about self-determination and self-will, as much as the world might think it is. It's about continuing in the faith by God's grace with a view towards future glory. Now at RBC, we hold to the security of the believer, that the Bible teaches that once someone is saved, they are Christ, they are his, and he keeps them all the way to the end. No one can snatch them out of his hand. That's the clear teaching of Scripture. John 6, John 10, Romans 8, Philippians 1, 6, Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. They all teach the security of the believer, the perseverance of the saints. But Scripture also presents us with a bit of a tension because it calls us to strive for holiness and it calls us to guard one another against falling away. Philippians 2:13 instructs us to that very thing. It says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So brothers and sisters, true believers will persevere to the end, and yet we are called to actively pursue faithfulness and to help each other to do the same. This is where fellowship plays an essential role in the life of the church. Hebrews 10:24-25 reminds us to consider how we may spur one another on toward toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So meeting together is very important. What we do on Sunday is important. We gather. But it's also just as important as what we do when we gather. We encourage one another. We meet one another's needs. We call each other to persevere in the faith. David Mathis says it well. As partners under God's word and in prayer, a brother who knows me as me and not just generic humanity speaks truth in love into my life and gives me a word such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion that it may give grace. The grace of God flows to us through one another when we bring God's word to bear in fellowship. Brothers and sisters, that's the heart. That's the heart of biblical fellowship. We need one another. We need one another to persevere, to correct each other, to protect one another from sin. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Here's the responsibility of the body. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So this is a warning against the deceitfulness of sin and the danger of drifting. We know drifting doesn't just happen all at once. It's a gradual process. And so we need other believers to speak truth into our lives. And did you notice the responsibility on those who are close to the drifter, the members of the fellowship? We're called to exhort one another every day so that none of us are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we need people in our lives who know us well enough to speak hard truths to us. D.A. Carson says, when someone is spiritually weak, it's not just laid on the spiritually weak to muster their will and do the discipline, but for the body, to take up the discipline on behalf of the wanderer. James 5, 19 and 20, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way, will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. This is our responsibility to one another. This is my responsibility to you. So as we close, I just want to speak to two groups here before we welcome our new members up to share their testimony. First, I want to speak to those who might be on the fringe of RBC, of fellowship at RBC. Maybe it's by your choice, but maybe you've also tried to connect with others, but you just haven't been able to find a connection. My prayer is that no one here at this church would feel isolated. If that's you, I'm encouraging you to do the work of reaching out to another believer here. Share that you're feeling disconnected. Ask for prayer. I mean, it may take courage, but brothers and sisters, fellowship is so worth the effort. And so let me once again recommend you to our care group ministry. It's one of the best ways that we fellowship within the body. It's one of the best ways that you can gather a group of people around you to care for your soul. Second, I want to speak to those who actually do feel connected here at RBC. My challenge to you is to look out for others, to ask yourself, who might be feeling isolated? Who am I seeing starting to drift away? And again, this requires knowing each other, praying for each other, and doing the work of reaching out. And so as we grow as a body at RBC, I want to call us to continually commit to this biblical fellowship. Take time to greet people, meet people that you don't know after the service. It may be awkward at times, but biblical fellowship is worth pushing through the discomfort. Introverts, I know this may be difficult, and believe it or not, I'm one of you, but we're called to this, right? As we walk together, let's support one another in holiness and the faith. And as we do so, we glorify God and we encourage others to persevere. It's the purpose, one of the purposes of the church, to be devoted to fellowship. So, friends, eternity is at stake. Let's join together in this fellowship for the glory of God. Amen.